All right. Good morning, everybody. We'll call our meeting to order, all commissioners present. Helen Suti is going to open us with prayer, and then we'll have the pledge, if you'd stand with us, please.
Our dear blessed Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we come to you with praise and thanksgiving for your goodness and your mercy and your love. We pray right now, Lord, that you would let us conduct this meeting in your honor with your blessing, and as it says in your word, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and all envies and all evil speakings, and speak only, Lord, what is glorifying to you and in your name. And we thank you for your Son, Lord, that died on the cross for our sins, and we give you all the praise and the glory. Amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Helen. Good prayer. All right. Next on our agenda is meeting minutes.
I'm going to ask that we wait and approve these minutes. I went in and visited. There's some clerical errors and also some votes that need to be listened to on the tape.
Okay, all three of them?
There's two definitely, and then I would just like to wait and approve all three of them at the same time. This later today. They're looking through the tape right now, I think, for me.
Okay. How about a motion?
I've got a motion to deny for...
Motion to table?
Table till a later date.
Okay. A second?
Questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right. Next, we've got accounts payable.
I didn't see anything that was out of whack. I'll make a motion that we approve accounts payable.
Second.
Questions or comments there? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. I didn't see any journal entries. All right. Next, we're ready for public comment.
Don Earhart.
Welcome, Don.
Thank you all again for allowing me to come before you. And what I want to ask today is, I want to ask for an answer on my land clearing and the how one of your employees treated me in regard to this. And I want to find out if you guys want to come up with the $300 it's going to cost me to, if you guys want this piece of paper filled out on this land, I want to find out if you're going to come up with $300.
Okay. I can give you a little report. I did contact DNR. Chuck Greason's the man's name. I say I contacted him. I left him a message. I haven't heard back from him. He's in the field today, I understand. I don't have an answer. I don't know if the other commissioners do. The only other comment I would make is I think it's actually it came up. James Strahan mentioned it at a Farm Bureau meeting on, Saturday night, this issue of agriculture having to have a permit. And I've visited about that a place or two, different folks. And if you're doing an agriculture project, I feel safe to say you don't have to have a permit. And so what benefit and how that'll work out here in the next day or two, I don't know. Anybody else comments? Or?
I mean, that's what the DNR law says, is that if it's an agricultural purpose of clearing, and I read that statute on
right.
Friday, then there's no reason to have a permit. So I don't... That's what the rules say. So if you're doing clearing other than for agricultural reasons, then a permit is required.
So okay. My thought was when we visited last was that hopefully a discussion with DNR might bring a resolution, hopefully today.
Okay, I'm going to go up there. I've got to be before their committee tomorrow.
Right.
And find out what they have to say. But and everything that I've got so far is... they're asking that I fill out a permit.
Okay.
And, that's not going to happen. unless someone else wants to pay for the permit. I just wanted to find out, and I'm glad that you checked in on this. You do a wonderful job, Chuck, of checking in behind people, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Danny also does a really good work. And Jim, I don't know about you. You know, I suppose you do, but you never really... I've never asked any question, I guess, of you that you would get into it. So I guess I say that so far you guys are doing great. So anyway, so thanks for backing me up. I'll let you know the outcome of this because I think everybody, especially all the farmers, need to know what DNR is going to do because I've dealt with DNR back when I was engineering on wastewater projects. And they're about as scuzzy a bunch as I've ever seen in my life. And you put that in the records.
Well, the folks that I visited with, and like Jim said, he read the statute. It seems clear to me that if it's an agriculture project, which has been my understanding all along, mm-hmm. you don't have to have a permit to clear land, whether it's over an acre or not. So I'm looking forward to talking to Mr. Greason and hearing that come out of his mouth and then see if we can't get the issue resolved.
Well, thank you all very much.
Mm-hmm. Don, we will have several issues that come before the county commissioners and resolutions and things that we are going to propose at our meeting when we have our meetings with all the Southwest region. And then this February, we'll have our entire commission meeting there. And I'm hoping that we get some reaction from the legislative body that will help resolve this kind of issue. We have all kinds of little things that are through into bills and through into different departments, wherever they're at, whether they be DNR, the Corps of Engineers, Missouri Conservation, or whatever. But we need those things to be addressed and taken. More clarification and less petty judgment.
Exactly.
Again, you said you were going to DNR today? Or what?
Tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So if you don't hear from one of us this afternoon, if you want to give us a holler, see if we learn something before you go up tomorrow or whatnot.
That's great.
All right.
Thank
Very
you.
Very good. All right. Next. James.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
First, I'd like to report in a positive mode of the Assessors Association conference was held here again at Chateau. Last 4 out of 5 years, I've brought the assessors to Chateau, and we're scheduled to be here 2 more. We had a very successful conference. It is required by statute that we put in our 20 hours of training as all elected officials, and that's what that accomplishes there at the Chateau. Another accomplishment, I think, will be that we'll bring about 2,000 shoppers to Taney County over the course of the time that these individuals come here and are scheduled here. We also had Mayor Presley there to open the meeting, and she gives some very positive remarks toward Branson. Chamber was wonderful. Chamber of Commerce did a wonderful job of putting the package together for these people to come here and information packets. And people were real excited. And I'd had a request. Was we going to get any more chamber packets this year? And it was a good deal. They enjoyed themselves. The assessors, the State Tax Commission was there. Introducing one new state tax commissioner and still have one position to fill on that role. Don't know whether the confirmation will come. We even have to have a Senate confirmation on the new man that's been appointed. So it was a real informative meeting. It was very positive. Like I say, the chamber did a wonderful job of helping promote the area. And it's just something we have to do every year to get involved in the legislations. There were several resolutions presented that we had to approve. One was fighting the seemingly impossible funding mechanisms coming out of Jeff City right now. And it was all doomsday. I will report that. It appeared that we'd been talking about making up 200, 300 million, and then numbers was mentioned as 600, and the last number we heard from the speeches was $800 million shortfall. So it was all doomsday as far as that goes, but it prepares us. Doomsday prepares us, so it's better to go in at that to it that way. It appears that many counties throughout the state are going to be non-compliant and have received non-compliant letters. Taney County has not received one, but there has been many issued. So a lot of discussion on how the assessors are to proceed and satisfy everyone to Jeff City down to the entities. And from outside looking in, it seems to be an impossible task, but from inside looking out the assessors, we believe we can make it work. So it was a good conference, good representation throughout the state, and a positive. Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? All right. Move on to new and old business, fall cleanup. Who wants to visit about that?
We had a couple of dates that we were wanting to Okay. get out there, and I guess Frank will take care of that.
Good. Morning, sir.
Good morning. Just wanted to publicly announce that Taney County will once again be holding its annual fall cleanup. The dates for the fall cleanup are October 29th and 30th. It'll be a Friday and a Saturday, opening up at 8 a.m. and closing at 3:30. Two locations for disposal will be the Buchanan Transfer Yard or Transfer Station. The other one will be 3 miles east of Forsyth at what they call the Mechanics Flats or the Recycle Center. Items that will be accepted are furniture, appliances, automotive batteries, and almost anything metal will be accepted. Tires will be accepted at the Buchanan Road Transfer Station only, and there will be a $1 charge per tire. No commercial dealers will be allowed free of charge disposal. This is a program that's set up for the residents only. And I've got a couple extra flyers here if there's anyone in the media that would like one.
Great. Any questions for Frank? Nothing new. Might make mention, don't we want to, about not for your regular everyday trash. This is for furniture, and as you mentioned, it's not open for everyday trash. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's meant for cleaning out the backyard and garage and things like that. Not normal residential trash that would be picked up on a weekly basis. It's outside of that scope.
The reason I bring that up, I know there's been occasions that, the folks working there have had to deal with that issue.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Don?
I have a question.
Come on up to the mic if you don't mind, please. For those that aren't aware, we've got the mic where we record our meetings, and also it's on the Internet.
Great.
Thanks.
I'm aware of there's some subdivisions that have real trash problems. And it's trash that people have moved off and left their regular trash. And in, like, big fenced-in areas or left, like, a trailer full of trash. And I was wondering, in a cleanup program such as this neighborhood, will you all take that kind of trash?
My understanding is definitely yes. We've had some neighborhoods come together and work those type of things, and if the press happened to pick that up, that's part of our motive, right?
Yes, but that has to be notified beforehand so that we have our workers that know that this is coming in from a certain area. And
there will be some from Lakeway.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that we to avoid people just coming in and with their household trash that we do not take it, and but we do have notification of certain areas that we are trying to get cleaned up in certain neighborhoods. So.
And who should we call on this?
I guess Road and Bridge are the ones that take responsibility for it.
All right. 7268, 546-7268.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Any other comments on our cleanup? Sound, oh, Frank?
Going through my desk this week, this morning, found a flyer that talked about Tanicomo cleanup also. That's this upcoming Saturday, the 18th. I don't know a lot of details. I was hoping Mr. Straffis or somebody else would know a little more detail about that.
I can pull up the contact information.
I heard him visiting about it on the radio, so we've got some good press, I think, out of it. I think there's like three locations. Mm-hmm. I'm drawing a blank where they are. I'm going to say Empire Park, maybe. And
yeah, I don't have it handily right in front of me here yet.
Well, if we get the news media the information here before the day is over, then they can get it published.
I'll make sure and do that.
Good deal. Yeah, glad you brought that up. They're looking for folks with boats that have got time to go out and clean up around, and volunteers, of course. All right, anything else there? All right, Tri Lakes Biosolids Project. Ron Houseman. And see Mr. Zimmerman hanging out back there. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, sir. Gentlemen, I am elated to announce that the Missouri Clean Water Commission formally approved the SFY 2011 Clean Water Intended Use Plan, the IUP, during their meeting last Wednesday. And contained within the IUP under Non-Point Source and Green Infrastructure Demonstration Grants is the grant that we've been pursuing for $3 million designated for Taney County and the Tri-Lakes Biosolids Project, or facility as it's called. Now, this is a project that's been pursued by Taney County, by the City of Branson, the City of Hollister, and a number of other cities within the county and outside for a number of years. It's been pursued because the completed project will result in cleaner water and therefore a cleaner environment for Taney County. Trucks hauling waste will be reduced from 4,500 trips a year to approximately 225. The project will result in the production of an innocuous Class A biosolids project, which can be used as a soil amendment. Gentlemen, this is a tremendous project, a project that's going to have positive ramifications on Taney County and the cities within Taney County for years to come. I spoke with DNR personnel who feel that this project can be utilized as a pilot project for all areas across the state of Missouri. So they are watching this closely. They have asked if they can be present when we unveil the project, when we begin the construction of the project, and they've asked then if they can utilize it as the pilot project to point to and say, Taney County did it right. This is what we think you should do in your communities. And I think that speaks well for us any time that any state agency can point at our county and say, why don't you follow the example of Taney County? Now, this was not an easy task because the DNR personnel and the Clean Water Commission members themselves over the past few years have not been in favor of this project for any number of reasons. But the fact that we have benefited from grants, from state revolving fund loans, and a number of other areas made it difficult for us to garner their attention to apply more dollars towards this county when there are 113 other counties and hundreds of cities from across the state vying for these same funds. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, when the project was presented, when Taney County came forward and agreed that we would find partial funding from here at home, the state found it within themselves to approve this project and to move forward. Now, I've worked on this project for 16 months, but I haven't worked nearly as long as a number of other people within this county on this particular project. As a matter of fact, an original committee was formed, a partnership was created, and the first chairman of that partnership was Dave Woolery. And I'd like to call on Dave for just a few comments to give us a little bit about the history of how we got to where we are and why we pursued this in the first place. Dave?
Morning, sir. Welcome.
Good morning. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Ron. Well, it's good to be back, and but first I want to congratulate all you who have been involved with this project for a long, long time for getting this funding done here. It started a number of years ago, and it was my honor to be just a small part of this, but you guys put the ball in the end zone now, and we're ready to go here, so this we'll celebrate that here. But my first introduction to the Class A biosolid was in a meeting that occurred in September of 2005, and that was with Larry Van Gilter and Debbie Reynolds. And they took some time to discuss with me what the biosolid was all about and the critical need for it and the efforts that they had made a few years ago to get this project underway. So it's, as Ron said, it's been underway for a little while here. But I need to mention another guy, too, and that was Gail Roberts. Gail was a senior engineer at that time for the Department of Natural Resources. He's now retired, but he had heard a little bit from Congressman Blunt's office that maybe there would be some grant money available for some special projects, and he asked me if I knew of any, and I said, well, I'm hearing a lot about biosolids down in the Tri-Lakes area here. I traveled around quite a bit, and the more I did that, particularly in this area here, the folks there kept discussing with me the critical need for something to do with our wastewater treatment, and biosolids seemed to be the answer to that. So Gail said, yeah, let's give it a shot. We need to get organized and see what happens. Well, that money didn't happen. But we did organize our first meeting for the Tri-Lakes Class A Biosolid Coalition, as we called it, occurred on January the 24th, 2006, if my notes were right here. And that included the representatives from the city of Branson, Hollister, Forsyth, Rockaway Beach, Kimberling City, Branson West, the Taney County Commission, the Taney County Sewer Board, and of course Gail Roberts was there too. We'd also heard some interest from other cities around. Those included Ozark, Barryville, Arkansas, Green Forest, Arkansas, but I don't remember if they were in this meeting or not. But anyway, the meeting took place on January the 24th. My intent at that time was to call the meeting to discuss a little pro and con about biosolids, to get organized, to elect a chairman, and my intent was to quietly slip out the back door at that time. But it didn't work out that way. But it really was my privilege and my honor to be involved in the next three years or so, including even using the airplane to fly to the Clean Water Commission a couple of times. But those commission meetings, unfortunately, didn't work out near as good as it did last Wednesday. So I congratulate you all for that. But I really do want to say, boy, your perseverance, your dedication, really got this project underway, and we're soon going to see the great benefits of this. I'm confident here. It's an example. It's a great example of the cooperation that can develop in communities here for some real positive results that benefit the citizens and the communities here. So, well done, guys. Ron, thank you for allowing this bad penny to return once again.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate everybody's work on that. Other comments?
Yeah, just a few more, and I have a couple of other people to call on very quickly, if that's all right. I would be remiss if I didn't remark that the Industrial Development Authority, the IDA, has pushed so hard for a number of projects for this county and for economic development within the county. And I don't think, had it been for their perseverance and their support and a team within our own Department of Economic Development here within the county, that we would have moved as rapidly as we did, and especially with the support of you all, this county commission. I can remember when Governor Nixon was here and he was awarding us with the energy grant, standing right here, and I was standing over at the wall next to the DNR director, Mark Templeton. And as the governor was making comments, Mark turned to me and he said, Ron, he says, do my people treat you right when you come up and talk about grants and loans on behalf of Taney County? I said, they do a great job. They're very gracious. They've answered all my questions. He said, if you have any specific project that you haven't got funded, that you would like to get funded, he said, you come see me. I said, I'll be in your office next week. That was our opening. And as a result of his comment, I asked Mike Zimmerman, who I'd like to ask right now to come up, because I'll let him answer any of the technical questions you might have. He also has a contract that will help us to move forward in this process. But Mike and I went to Jefferson City, and we sat with Mark Templeton, again the director of DNR, with Scott Totten, with Joe Boland, and Doug Garrett, and we talked about how we might move this project forward. And it was that day that the genesis of the $3 million was born and that it came to fruition. Mike?
Thank you, Ron. I'd like to add a little bit to Ron's comments. One of the we're sitting in this meeting, and we gave the presentation that we'd given numerous times before, and the director, Templeton, said, hey, I've got another meeting I have got to go to. He turned to Boland and to Mr. Garrett and said, gentlemen, this is a great project. I want this thing funded. And with that, he steps up and walks out of the room. Mr. Boland and Mr. Garrett were speechless for the first time in 20 years. They were looking at each other, kind of stumbling around, and that was really the nexus of getting us there. For the press, there's one comment I'd like to make. Rick Zygmunt has called this a proactive legacy project. And in fact, it is, because it will change the way that solid waste from wastewater treatment plants is handled in this county and this whole region. And it's been classified as a demonstration project, as Ron said recently, too. And we're going to be pointing to this thing for many years to come. So it's a proactive legacy project. And, gentlemen, we thank you for the support that you all have given us. And without the timely response, I know it was nail-biting and difficult to get everybody together and get this funding thing on your behalf done in a timely manner. But without it, we wouldn't be where we are today. The sewer board has approved our contract, and it's also been bounced up to you for your approval so we can get started on this project. So, and Mike Ray is here from the city of Branson, and he's picked up the gauntlet that Larry Van Gelder started, and there's just been a lot of people I need to thank for getting this to where it is today. Any questions for me?
Timeline.
Timeline is, with approval of our contract, we will revamp the engineering report, and I've got a copy, an extra copy. You guys have all these for your records?
I have upstairs, I think.
And there's an extra copy for you guys to have. We'll be updating that. We'll be working with Branson and Hollister to try to use some existing buildings in order to reduce costs, and we've talked about even going with some metal buildings. We're revising the operation and maintenance costs. We have new prices we can put in for natural gas, because natural gas is coming. That's going to greatly reduce the overall operation and maintenance costs for this project. Have that completed. We expect then the project that we brought back to the sewer board and to you all. We'll be getting the partnership members together again. We expect to be involved in starting final design either late this year or early next year. And then DNR hopes, as we do, that the project will go out for bids sometime in 2011 with completion in 2012.
Location, Cooper Creek still the plan?
Remember, there's several components to that, and one of the first things is we're going to have a mobile dewatering unit, a centrifuge, which will go around to all the partnership members and reduce their sludge quantity, so that's a big component of removing the amount of trucks that are on the road. Also, we're proposing to have a centrifuge located at the Hollister facility, also at both the Branson, the Compton facility, and Cooper Creek facility. And then the actual dryer, you're correct, sir, will be located at the Cooper Creek facility.
Very good. Has been a good long project, but
it was
very much worth it.
Yes, it was pretty scary last Wednesday as well. I mean, there were questions and comments, and we didn't know until the last minute that it was going to get approved, and it was unanimous. So we're very ecstatic about it.
Good job.
Bob, they've already got a contract, don't they?
The contract is on the agenda for later today during the weekly. It's already been approved by the sewer board.
Correct. Great. Thank you all. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Of our latest task force that's been working on this, there are four members that are present, Mike and myself, Jim Strophis, and Mike Ray. And I'm wondering, Mike, did you have any comments that you wanted to make at all? No? Jim?
I mean, I just remember the first meeting I had with the DNR. I was back. I was looking at my calendar, October 7th, when I first met with them, and they, it was with Drew Bruton and Joe Boland and all those guys, and they said it's not going to happen. You know, put it on the back burner. And it wasn't until when the governor's visit came in and we had some time with him, and then Mark Templeton said, you know, make sure this thing, make sure we get the assistance necessary. So it was very good to see it progress. From the first meeting.
It was fun to watch over the course of the last several months the attitudes of those DNR staff members mm-hmm. who were not in our corner, and then to watch them last Friday at the meeting when we had two commissioners that were, I mean, firing some heavy shots at us and at the project, for those staff members to stand up and to answer every single question and to pick up, if you will, the staff for us and to move forward. It was really neat to watch. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks. Good job,
Ron. When you mentioned commissioners, you meant the Clean Water Commissioners, not the county commissioners.
I meant
right?
the Clean Water Commissioners, yeah. Yes,
in case the press didn't pick up on that. Okay, Bob, anybody else? Welcome also to ask questions or comments on the project.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I know there was quite a few people involved in this project, but I really want to thank Ron Hausman. I know there's been some issues in the past few weeks about he gets paid too much. He doesn't do that. He brought $3 million here, and he's got other projects going, and you three gentlemen didn't bring $3 million here, so let's drop what he got paid. He should get paid three times more than what he's got, and thank you very much, Ron, and you'll make a great commissioner. Thanks.
All right. Other comments?
I've got one.
Okay.
The people that need to be congratulated are the Taney County citizens that are going to be the beneficiaries of this great project, and the voters that approved the sewer tax in the past, and the cities and Taney County Sewer Board that have worked so hard in the process of putting together a total county package that it doesn't have to be announced until you look at the TV and see the situation that other cities like Lake of the Ozarks and those cities are in, to see how fortunate we are in Taney County to have a group of hard-working citizens that volunteer for boards and people that are staff members and engineers that work on a project and see it come to pass. And I would also like to congratulate Ron for his hard work on this, and every Larry Van Gilder and the whole group that have worked in the past on this. And then when we got to this first point and everybody is telling you, no, 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 it's not going to happen, and then we make it happen, and the citizens of this county are the ones to be congratulated. Thank you.
I did want to. We left one name, Joan Chowning. She was took it for when she was here for the 1 year with us. She was really the enthusiastically behind the entire project.
I apologize for stepping back up here, but you're right. Joan was the one that put together our most recent task force that would call the meetings. That would make sure that we all had tasks to perform.
And make sure
she
you get
was
it done.
A hard task mistress. but we all did perform those. It was, and it goes without saying that while I appreciate credit, and I do, there are a number of people, again, that worked on this. It was nice to be able to call Rayanne and have Rayanne call one of the Clean Water Commission members. It was nice for her to be at the Clean Water Commission meeting to talk directly with Clean Water Commission members and Rick Ziegenfuss and all the others that have been involved. Becky Roberts, we called upon her from the IDA board to contact Clean Water Commission members. We utilized a lot of people from the community to get involved, because this project, as has already been stated, is dramatically going to impact our environment. When we stop spreading the waste that we're taking from the sewer plants, and we cook it down to about 10% of what its volume originally was, and turn that into a product that is safe to utilize in gardens, we've done something that protects our water. And our lakes and our streams are the lifeblood of tourism in this county.
And Mike didn't bring this up, but the sludge fields that we use, there's thousands and thousands of acres that are under contract to spread the sludge. and that was affecting all the watersheds. I mean, it wasn't just Taney Como, it was Bull Shoals, it was Table Rock, so it truly will help the water quality of multiple lakes.
I want to tag on to Danny just a little bit. We have a half-cent sales tax, as you were alluding to, I think, Danny, that also made this project possible because it's $3 million coming from the government, that part, but also the other $3 million, it's a 50-50 co-op. And so the people are wise, I think, our citizens are wise to have voted that. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Yep.
All right, anything else on that? Okay. Next on our agenda is assessment. I'm responsible for that being on there. Last week, James came to us and talked to us about the issue of state reimbursement. There was a delay of the state getting the counties for reimbursement, and he was just making us aware that the money had got released and was being paid. He also brought up the issue on the Branson Creek Boulevard and the Branson Creek Airport. In his comments, he had some that were toward me, and when he got through with his comments, I've attempted to make a comment, and our counsel said that James had got out of the agenda item and that I shouldn't be talking about it. Gave it a little bit of thought. It's not fun having somebody speaking to you in a non-positive way, and I guess I'll leave it at that. I would challenge James. Our most recent disagreements and assessment has been over the assessment of the Branson Airport. And I've felt like, and the paper has reported, that he didn't assess that right, and that didn't sit with him right, which I can understand. But I'd challenge him to bring us something that says otherwise, and unless there's other discussion, I'll leave it at that. Okay. Next, I also put on the agenda, and that's a budget payroll. And I'd start out with a motion I made a couple of weeks ago. Try it again. I would motion to request our county auditor, Rick Finley, to determine the amount of salary overpayment found on 8-18-10 so the county can seek repayment of that overpayment. That would be my motion. Any discussion? Any seconds? Donna?
Not for this subject.
Okay. All right. I would like to take this opportunity then to explain how this issue came up and why I've made this motion, and if Christy would help me with the overhead. The first item we have here is a copy of our budget. This comes out of our budget, our 2010 budget. Got a copy of the whole thing. And it shows, this is our Industrial Development Board. Shows Joan Chowning, Contract Management, Executive Director, Ronald D. Houseman, Legislative Consultant. When we went through the budget process for this year, late last year, we budgeted a half a year salary for the Executive Director, which is $35,000, which we plan to hopefully have them hired by the middle of the year at a salary rate as high as $70,000, which we didn't go that high as we've worked on it, but anyway, that was our budget. And then on Mr. Houseman, we budgeted for half a year there also at $22,500. Rick, got a comment?
I think, Chuck, that's where we have the misunderstanding, because my understanding was that we budgeted Mr. Houseman for 1 year past, or 1 month past, when we hired an executive director. And you guys were planning on hiring an executive director by May. And so I assumed that you knew that too. I mean, that was a discussion I remember taking place.
So the 22.5 and the 35,000 was for
the
what?
The 22.5 was to take care of Ron's salary until we hired an executive director.
Okay. So you said
it might not have been a half year.
You understood that we planned to hire an executive director in May? How did that? How does that work with that budget then? We only budgeted for a half a year. That doesn't fit.
You didn't know how long Ron was going to be here, because your intentions were to hire somebody as an executive director, and then we would not have any reason to keep Mr. Houseman on. Is that correct? Is that what you had in mind?
Well, if I could move on with what I've got to present, maybe I can answer your question.
Just make sure everybody understands that.
Okay. This is an email that started with you, Rick. Says, Jim, just got a call from Danny asking about IDA budget. I gave him the numbers I took from the board after your executive session. I was asked what Ron Houseman would be making, and I would have to guess that you have budgeted for a portion of the year. Can you clarify what those numbers mean and what portions of the year or whatever you intend? And then Jim's response is reduction of salary from 45,000 or to 45,000 from 54,000 and paid 1 month beyond the start date of the new executive director. And then it follows with estimates of how that would work out. It appears to me very clear that Rick asked for clarification of what that position was to be paid. And Mr. Schroff has, I think, very clearly answered the question. Okay, the next one, please, Christy. On August 18th, Mr. Strophis appeared to think there was an error and made a payroll change, filled out a payroll change disclosure. If you roll that up a little bit, and very clearly says that the salary should have been, was at $54,000. And should have been lowered to 45,000. Have I got another one? If you'd let me finish, I've only got one more, Rick, or two more.
Before you go past that, make sure you note the date on that.
8/18. I stated that, yes. 8/18 of this year. This issue, go on, roll down there for me if you would, Christy. First one here was from myself, asking Don in the auditor's office. It was mentioned recently that Ron Houseman's salary had been lowered from 54 to 45. Would you let me know when that took place? She answered, per my records, has not been a pay rate change. The next one, I understand, I think it was an executive the other day, that there was a change. Did I understand that correctly? That was going to Mr. Strophis and Danny. And Jim answered it by an email, says, yes, the change was to take place January 1, 2010. That was the budget decision back in December. One more I think I've got is the... just the minutes where we were discussing the issue, and which we don't normally pull out separate budgets and discuss them out or vote on them separately like we did this, but we did vote on this on whatever day that was, probably in December. Yep. And if you don't mind, go back up, Christy, to the second one. Rick made a point about the date, which, keep going backwards if you don't mind. Yes, that's the one. Be good to point out the date on this document, and that is Wednesday, December 16th, 2009. And so anyhow, I feel it important that the information be there before the public. It looks clear to me that there was an error, that the salary was supposed to change, and did not happen. Jim made an effort to change it and then made comment yesterday that he was hasty about that, and I don't understand why it's not corrected, but that's my side of the issue.
Did you notice that you had in your minutes that you were showing that you went into executive session? Have you checked those executive session minutes?
I believe I've read those, Donna, but I don't know that there's any that has any issue to do with this. I mean, if you look at the information that was back and forth firsthand on the emails, it's quite clear what was decided. I mean, Jim was clear about what he thought came out of executive session or regular session minutes, either one.
Okay. Well, I just noted that somebody said they wanted to go into executive session after that motion had died on your minutes up here. Other thing.
I'm sorry. I didn't
scroll down to the minutes. Would you? Executive session, right there. Came right after your discussion, and so I thought maybe that might have had to do with the issue because it was talking about an individual, and so I just had wondered if you had checked those executive session minutes for that day.
But if you'll see the next issue on the minutes there is we went out of executive session, as I mentioned earlier, and mm-hmm. voted on the IDA budget.
Okay. I will give you some history regarding overpayments done by the county in error. One would be back when we converted from a third-class county to a first-class county. There were offices that received an increase in pay that later was determined to be illegal, and the county was never repaid. And there was lawsuits in other counties later, but fortunately we weren't involved in a lawsuit, but clearly the lawsuit indicated that we had overpaid elected officials and never asked for that money back. And number two, another case that you might consider is we are currently involved in a lawsuit, and at this time the commission...
Hold on. Should we bring up lawsuits in an open session, Donna?
I'm not going to mention anything except for in the lawsuit itself, we did not request reimbursement for what we believed was overpayment to someone. So I was just going to mention our actions in the past might be something you want to take into consideration when it was not the fault of the individual receiving the funds.
Donna, since you brought the issue up, where do you stand? Do you not feel like we should, we haven't even stopped the issue. It's continuing on for the rest of the year. Do you feel like we shouldn't ask for the reimbursement?
I feel that any time the commission finds something that they believe has done an error, that they should investigate it. If it is the fault of an elected official who acted in some way to cause an employee to now be asked to repay, I think it would be the county's mistake or possibly the auditor's mistake or the person interpreting the decision of the commission. But the employee does not request X number of dollars. The county pays X number of dollars to an employee. If I've overpaid one of my employees and the commission doesn't like it, I'm not going to ask my employees to repay it because, one, I ordered it. Two, it was voted on by the commission. So why should an individual who's been receiving a pay and no one has brought it to their attention until now expect that person to repay when they did not know that they were at fault? And the commission had continually voted to allow that payment. So that would be my comment.
Don, if I could comment back to you. If the employee was aware that they had a pay rate change, assuming they look at their paychecks and knew that there was an error, would the employee not have some responsibility?
Do you know that an employee did that?
According to Mr. Schroffis, he was made aware, yes.
And does he request his paycheck each week? Does he say how much he wants to be paid each week?
I don't know that employees, I don't understand.
They never
what you're
do.
Saying.
Now, what I'm saying is the person or individual over them, which would be the commission in this instance, should correct that error immediately.
So the employee, in your opinion, even though they knew there was a mistake, would not be responsible for bringing it to
you
the
county?
You
just said Mr. Strauffus knew that to be true, and you're the commission. You would be responsible for taking care of it. You were responsible for giving it to him.
Okay. All right. Very well. Rick, another comment?
You know that I do whatever the commission requires that I do, asks that I do. And I really don't feel like there's been a mistake made on this because I think the first email that you showed was talking about budget, and we did reduce that in the budget, but I also know that you were talking about replacing Ron a near mid-year, something like that, and then when we lost Joan Towning, February, something like that, he was asked to stay on longer. We didn't have an IDA director. I have always asked documentation, written documentation for any payroll changes. Didn't get that in December or January. Now, Jim did bring me something August 19th.
18th.
18th. I did not act on that because I don't act on one commissioner. I act on the wishes of the commission. And I think that I talked to you about maybe coming down and signing that.
No, sir, you did not, Rick. You didn't call on me. In fact, I've got another email where you said you couldn't get a vote on it. I would have definitely signed that.
Chuck, you must have misunderstood me because I asked two or three times to ask you to come down. And so knowing whether you wanted that done, I'm not going to act on one commissioner's. I wouldn't act on yours. I wouldn't act on Jim's. I wouldn't act on Danny's. And so if you want me to do something like that, you're going to have to get the commission as a whole, not one, but two of you at least, to tell me to do that. And we can do whatever needs to be done. I do believe that you need to recognize that I did send an email to you, and I know you got the email because you have that, I don't know if you had it up here or not, on June 9th. I sent an email to you. I sent an email to Danny, I sent an email to Jim, to Ron Houseman, and to Tim Connell that stated that we were at the limits on that particular line item, 22.5. We had spent, and in the next payroll, he would go over that. I didn't get any response from anybody at that time, so I assumed we were doing the right thing.
Rick, you're walking both sides of the fence. You're saying that...
I am?
I believe you are. You just said to us that you sent the county commission and Tim and Ron an email saying that we're over budget on this line. What do you want?
Chuck.
Let me finish, Rick. I let you finish. You said that we're over line on this budget, and then you never got any written response. But now, a little bit ago, you say a written response is required. It seems like you're playing the game two different ways.
Chuck, to make a change on anybody's payroll, I would require a written response. So I'm walking the same side of the line.
Is the budget not more important?
Just a minute. No, the budget's not more important because we have bottom line budgeting. We had budgeted for Ron Houseman. We had budgeted for Joan Towning. We had budgeted for an executive director. There was lots of money in the payroll for that particular place. Just not in that one particular line. And I wanted you guys to be aware that at that time, you had told me earlier you were going to make a decision about mid-year, and I know you had trouble finding the proper executive director. I wanted you to be aware, if you wanted to make a change, to bring me that documentation. So I'm not walking both sides of the line.
I believe you are. You require...
Well, you may believe that, but I'm not.
You require a signature on some actions. On the disclosure, you want two signatures. And I've led, if you go back and look at all the payroll changes that the county commission has done on those forms that you provide us, you'll only find one signature throughout
the year. Because most of those are voted on at budget time, and so we only ask for one signature.
Well, I don't intend to take the time, but those forms that you made a point that you needed another signature, right here is your thing to me. No, I was asked to have another commissioner sign it, and neither did. And Rick, you didn't ask me. I would have been more than willing. You and I have been going back and forth on this for weeks by email, and you did not contact me in any way, email or verbally. And I don't know who...
Chuck, he said, you said, I thought I did, and if I didn't, I apologize.
Well, you didn't.
Well, I can say I did. And so we're still, he said, she said.
Well, but Rick, we can go through the emails, and we have all these emails up here. Christy, if you would go to the second one, please. You talk about he said and you said. Here is the. Go ahead. What's your point?
Let's put it this way: if there's been a mistake made and you want to change, get the commission to tell me change it, because we don't need to worry about whether I made a mistake or whether I didn't. If we want to change, you get it changed. Okay.
Earlier, Rick, you asked for written documentation, and here it is, Rick.
Under parliamentary procedure, I've never heard such a disgusting display coming from you, Mr. Pennell, here on an employee that should not be discussed. It should be under personnel and executive session. And I hope in your remaining time here, you do not point out one of my employees and pull them in front of the media and discuss their salaries. That should not be discussed here under any format. And under parliamentary procedure, I think you'll find out I'm correct. I am ashamed to listen to this conversation.
James, you've been ashamed of me and made that comment many a time over the last few years. Mr. Shantz.
I'm going to agree with James. This man brings you $3 million and you, I better not cuss, you're complaining about, I mean, how come this only happened after you lost the election? How come when every 2 weeks the salary has to be approved, you approved it, and now you're raising Kane? Come on, grow up. Let's get out of county business.
Bob, can I answer your question, please?
Sure.
If you would look at the document, this did not come to light until August 18th.
Jeff,
the election. Rick, would you?
You've got the documentation. I brought it to your attention June 9th.
Rick, if you would come up and explain what you're talking about, please. Bob?
Go to the email on June 9th. You got it on there?
Bob, the election was 8-3. This item came up on 8-18. And we have a budget that we work by. And I've heard you stand at that podium many a time and say, this is right and this is wrong. We've got a budget to follow. And I would rather not be here because I knew someone would accuse me, just as you have, of bringing this up because I didn't win the election. But that's not the case. We have a budget to follow. And we haven't followed it. And it's clear, and it's yes, it is our fault.
Okay, well,
and it's clear as a bell that the error was found, and it will not be addressed by anyone except myself to bring it up.
Can I say something? Because there's not proof. I mean, there's documentation right on there that says Mr. Houseman will be paid until 1 month after the executive director is hired. There has not been an executive director to be hired, so we have not and will continue to pay Mr. Houseman to bring in millions of dollars to this county, whether it be the wishes of the presiding commissioner or not. We have stated in these records that we will pay him until an executive director is hired. End of subject. I ask for a recess of this meeting.
One comment. Danny, you're acting like I don't want him paid. That's not the issue at all. The issue is the rate. And before you, you're looking at what was supposed to be done, and it wasn't done. Helen?
I had these notes written down before James ever got up to speak, and I agree. This is improper to discuss an employee and their salary in an open meeting. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to me as an elected official. It's embarrassing to our county, for the people that are listening out there thinking you have nothing better to do than this. If you want to discuss this, discuss it in a closed session. If there's motions taken, put it in the minutes to where people can listen to it. But or can read them, but I am totally embarrassed. And I have one thing to say. A few weeks ago, our county collector came forward whenever there was discussion being made that she felt was getting out of hand, and she requested that it be stopped and you move on. And our presiding commissioner, Mr. Pennell, immediately, which I thought at the time was correct, asked for a recess immediately. I am requesting, as another elected official, that this be stopped at this moment. And, Danny, your motion to declare a recess. But one more thing. I do note in my records, because I do keep records as of one of the payroll clerks, as the treasurer of the county, of approval of payroll. And the last time that the payroll was approved by the entire commission was just before the election. The payroll, according to my records, stopped being approved by the entire commission on August 4th. But I am requesting right now that you stop this embarrassing action. Thank you.
Helen, I would like to respond if I could, please.
Chuck, I don't believe at this time I want to make any more comments about this in open session. Sorry.
Well, I agree with your comments that it's a very uncomfortable thing to be in. I brought this before the county commission in executive session. And again, Mr. Strophis, for some reason, thought that there was an error and made an effort to correct it and then changed his mind. I did not want to be in this spot. Since the executive session, I also asked that this issue be handled. And I told my colleagues that I'll be the one that looks bad if this isn't handled and I bring it up, and that's what's pretty much happened in the last couple of comments. But the county commission did something. It wasn't followed. Doesn't matter what position it is. It should have been corrected. Other comments?
Motion for a recess.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye.